Morning. Well, I've been taking a month or so off. Just playing around, lazy. In hospital beds. Turn, if you will, with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 38. But I'm feeling a whole lot better. I had never had pneumonia, and I tell you what, it makes you sick. So thank the Lord that I'm come through it and back again. Let's look at chapter 38, verse 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me, David said in Psalm 50. Here's what Hezekiah said. Remember me now, O Lord, I beseech thee. I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. Isn't that a beautiful statement? I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. How about that? And will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. And this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he hath spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees, which is gone down in the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backwards, so the sun returned 10 degrees, by which degrees it was gone down. Verse 9. The writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness. I said in the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I am deprived of the residue of my years. I said, I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord in the land of the living. I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world. Mine age is departed and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. I have cut off like a weaver my life, and will cut me off with pining sickness. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. I reckoned till morning, that as a lion, so will he break all my bones. From day even unto night wilt thou make an end of me. Like a crane or a swallow, so I did chatter. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes fail with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. Let's pray. Lord, bless your word today. Give us freedom and peace. May the Spirit of God have his way in each life that's here. Suit a blessing. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. My thinking and about right, what I cut out of this study of Hezekiah was that the living he shall praise thee. That's in verse 19. The living he shall praise thee. The dead don't praise you. You can go out to the cemetery out there and there's going to be a voice. Now, there may be lovely people that were buried there, and you may have some moments and you might remember and sit down and have comfort. But it takes the living to praise. Why do you think that God has given you the blessings he's given you? To get some praise. So that you can praise God, praise him among your friends, among your relatives, among all that see you and meet you, and they find out you have something to praise God for. Amen. Now you do. I don't know about you, I'm a very patriotic American. I was in the Air Force 4 years. I guess maybe longer than that counting reserves, but when they finally let me out, I was very happy to get out. I did not re-up. But I was a soldier for the United States. And I'm proud of being that. I love this country. I was a missionary in Guatemala, and in the, that was in the days of Castro and Che Guevara and all that, and Guatemala was about half communist. There were parts of the country that I could not drive into. The police would not allow me to go to those areas because they were overcome by communists. There were people being killed every week, and at the first, the newspapers took pictures of them. You'd have 19 dead here and mutilated and whatever. And in the newspapers, there would be seeking for their boys to come home, because the communists would pick up 12, 13-year-old boys, haul them off out in the jungles and make soldiers out of them. And by the way, as we found out, boys can pull triggers on guns. And it was bad. We were under martial law the whole time we were there. Now, I did not know a communist from a right-wing United States supporter when I was in Guatemala. And I got a boy, a young man, a 17-year-old. He actually had come up to me to brag on my two sons. They were, I don't know, 11, 12, something like that. And they'd caught his horse for him. And so he was bragging on what fine sons I had, you know. And so this guy named Cesar came up to me and bragging on my sons. And I asked him, I said, do you have a job? He said, no. Do you want a job? He said, yep. I said, would you ride around with me out in this country? I was out preaching in the fields and whatever. And I had a PA system on sitting on top of my truck. I said, would you go with me, and if I'm in any trouble of communists, let me know. I couldn't tell the difference. And I was thought, well, I could get in any sort of situation. Caesar says, yeah, he got a job. So we kept going. I started preaching, and I preached in a bunch of these different fields and little towns and whatever. In Guatemala, in those days, I don't know about now, but in those days, if you got off the pavement, you went back 500 years. The Indians were back there just like they were. And most of them were barefooted, and most of them didn't have even roads into their villages. You know something? After a while, Cesar said, I can do that. I said, you can do what? He said, I can preach. He'd been hearing me preach every day because he's just going with me. I said, okay, here's the microphone. Well, he's been preaching. He's in his 70s now, and he's still preaching. He called me just a while, not called me, he sent me an email, thanking me for being his father in the gospel. And he's still preaching, still going on. The young lady that was a nurse with us, a maid started to help us when Verdine got sick. I led her to the Lord when she was about 17, 18, 9 years old. And Verlene taught her how to witness. And she went witnessing with Verlene quite a few times. She's still witnessing. She sends me notices when my birthday comes through her son, who can use the internet. And he sends them to me, and then I write back to him, and he translates for her, whatever. You know something? It's a wonderful thing to spread the gospel. It is a wonderful thing. I am so glad I am an American. Yes, sir. I'm patriotic, but I am thankful. I thank God that I was born in America, that I wasn't born in Africa. Amen. That I wasn't born in China. That I wasn't born in Russia. You ought to be thanking God. Now, you know all those crowded people down there on the coast down here in Texas, trying to get in illegally, maybe because they wouldn't stand a chance legally, wouldn't have the money or the means and whatever. I don't blame them. But, you know, you can't let everybody just come in and run loose because you kill the goose that lays the golden egg. You got to do it by law, and we certainly don't want any crooks. We don't want any communists. We don't want a whole bunch of things. The living, he shall praise thee. The dead don't get to. Not out here where you can see it or hear it. The living, he shall praise and sing. And I personally think, and that's going to be sort of the subject of my speaking to you this morning, I'm talking about the living ought to be praising and singing. Amen. 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 You ought to be. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. Now Hezekiah got sick. Now Hezekiah has to be about 35 or 40 at this time. He's the king of Israel and Judah. He was probably born in Jerusalem. And he was about 35 or 40 years old. What's what the estimates of anything I could read and find at the time that he has this sickness unto death. Now, I don't know whether you like hearing about death at all. You hear about it on the news every day in the news. I don't know that we need as much news as we have. I generally put in an hour from 5 to 6 in the afternoons on the local news and national news. Bad news makes news. A lot of good news doesn't really make the news. But bad news, oh boy, we stand up and pay attention when somebody shoots a bunch of people. And we got crazy people out here. You realize it, walking right down the street with you, there's somebody that doesn't think any better than what you just saw on the TV. They want to drive their car into people. They want to shoot people. And what do we have, a 6-year-old shoot a teacher? Yeah. That'll make a few teachers quit. They better get them a good raise. It says Hezekiah was sick unto death, and here comes the preacher. Now, what's the preacher going to say? He said, "Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." Okay, this guy's not 80. This guy's 35 to 40. He's been a good king. Hezekiah was a good king, following David. He tried to get rid of some of the idol worship and all the different things that were against God. And he was working at it, doing a good job. But you know something? He wasn't ready to die. Are you ready to die? Probably most of you aren't. You're planning on living a few more years. Well, I've already lived more than I ever thought I would. I was in the hospital and I told the people I had changed my mind on the resuscitation, that at my age, I did not want to be resuscitated. And one doctor said, "What are you so depressed about?" I said, "I'm not depressed at all. I'm very happy. I'm going to heaven. I mean, Jesus is going to come back and he's going to get me out of this old cocoon and I'm going to be a beautiful butterfly." You won't imagine the beauty is going to come out of this thing. But it's in there. I don't want to be kept alive in a hospital on machines. Really don't. But I never thought I'd live to be this old. And I might live to be a little bit older because I don't know what God's plan is. I read of a World War II soldier here just a little last year or so that died at 112 in Austin, Texas. World War II soldier died at 112. And by the way, he wasn't taking care of himself very much. He drank a quart every day and smoked big cigars. And in fact, when they were taking him down and burying him, all the people had big cigars and their drinks out in the roads while they were taking him down. So much for some of our dietary rules. Hezekiah gets a real shock. Here this preacher comes, a very good man. If you read Isaiah, if you've read Isaiah, you realize he has an understanding almost like the New Testament, almost like David. He sees salvation so clear. And in his prophecies are some tremendous things that are said. He's a good preacher. He's a good prophet. He comes to his king and he said, "You're going to die. The Lord told me you're going to die." Well, I tell you what Hezekiah did. He started praying. Amen. Turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord. Psalm 50, verse 15 says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me." That's the way David thought about it. Now, here's his prayer. Remember now, verse 3, O Lord, I beseech thee how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. I've cried about a lot of things in my life. And I don't blame Hezekiah. I don't blame a 35-year-old man, maybe children and a family, and he's doing a good job as a king, and he realizes it's over. I'd cry too. He cried, and he put his face to the wall, didn't want to see anybody, and he cried. And he tells the Lord, Lord, remember me. Look what I've been doing. Man, I've been fighting your battles and all this stuff, and you're taking my life away from me. I will deliver thee in this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria and will defend this city. I've heard that prayer. I'm sorry. Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah. Didn't seem like Isaiah balked at all. All of a sudden, here is another message from the Lord. I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. Praise the Lord. Actually, Hezekiah died at about 51 to 54 years old. So that's about the ages of the way you could judge it. He didn't live to be 70 like some of the kings, or 90 as others, or 120 as Moses. And he said, God come to him and said, I've heard thy prayer. Now, one of the things that I want to emphasize today is prayer. It's one of the biggest doctrines in the Bible. God answers prayer. It is amazing to me, but God wants my opinion. God wants my words. God wants to talk to you. I don't know how much you pray, but you ought to get in the habit of praying, especially if you say yourself you're a Christian, that you've been born again, you've had your sins forgiven, you're headed for heaven. God wants you to pray, and God is in the business of answering prayers. Amen. Now, I can't tell you that he's going to answer everything you pray for. I prayed for a whole lot of things. I'm glad God did not answer. I'd have been worse off if I'd have got what I wanted. But I leave it up to God. If it's going to hurt me, don't do it. I know my intelligence, my knowledge of what's happening now and what's going to happen in the future is way, way, sorry, pitiful. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's good or bad. I don't know whether I'll be alive tomorrow, or whether you'll be alive tomorrow, or whether the country's blown up tonight. What do we know about anything? I've heard thy prayer. I've seen thy tears. Did you know there's a place in the Bible where it says God's got all the tears in the bottle?
Amen.
That's amazing, isn't it? God knows when you're crying and in pain and you have a burden. And God wants, I don't know why. I'm not going to explain it, Brent. I'm not going to get into that. But you know what I know? I know God wants to hear. I know God wants to know what's in your mind. I know he wants you to make up your mind as to what you want him to know and say it to him. I'm amazed that God does want us to pray. But throughout the Bible, this the whole book, Old Testament, New Testament, Psalms, Proverbs, whatever. God wants you to pray. God wants your mind. He wants a fellowship with you. He wants an understanding of you. And maybe that's because he wants you to understand yourself and a little bit more about God. What we have in this book, I didn't know much when I was 20. I got saved. I began to read the Bible seriously. And as I read the Bible, the more and more I read it, the more I was impressed with what God had done and what God was doing, and that God would hear and answer my prayers. I had several real serious things come up. And I prayed. And God answered prayers in a marvelous way. Tremendous. And so I got to the place that I pray all the time. And I don't do it so formally as you might think. I don't get on my knees in a closet or by my bed and cold clasp my hands and close my eyes. And I just talk to God. And I believe God listens to me. I believe I can drive down the road with my eyes on the road, looking out for crazy drivers. You know, I heard it said, if we put our name and our occupation on a big block on the back of our car, we'd improve the driving. I think that's true. You know something, I can drive down the road and talk to the Lord. It's a beautiful thing to do. You ought to try it sometime. You ought to try some kind of prayer. I've prayed on my knees. I've prayed while I walked and ran or rode a bicycle. God wants my opinion. Why? Because my opinion is so great? No, I don't think so. I think He wants me to think about my opinion. Now, I started out preaching and I come with a purpose, as Brent said, it's my Bible. I believe it. I don't have any problem believing it. I'm confident in it. I've got the truth. And there's another thing about it. I believe where this Bible goes, the Holy Spirit of God blesses. I believe I preach this word plainly, that God, the Holy Spirit, can use that to touch minds and hearts and change lives. And I've seen enough lives change like mine. The guys out at the base, they laughed at me. I quit smoking, drinking, cussing, and gambling all the same day. And, of course, I was used to gambling most every day and cussing every day. And they were wanting to know what happened. Well, I didn't mind telling them. And they didn't mind telling me, oh, it'll be a couple of weeks and you'll be back with us. You just got a dose of religion. And it'll wear off in a little while. 66 years. Praise the Lord. 66 years, and I'm still rejoicing over that day when I was 20 years old back on an Air Force base in Roswell, New Mexico. When I called upon the Lord and He come in and changed my life. Gave my wife a new husband. She didn't divorce me. She was happy to have a saved husband. Where this word goes, as I read it, it's got the power to change lives and change your course for eternity. And I tell you, as I've read it, it's such a blessing to me. I still read it. I read it every day. Once I got saved, we began a family altar sort of thing. We got up every morning and ate breakfast together, the kids, Verlene and I. We read a chapter out of the Bible. We sung a hymn. And we prayed. And we did it all their lives, all my kids. Now, Eddie, he didn't get the first year. I got saved 7 days before his birthday to be 1 year old. But we've been doing that for a long time. Do you know what happens when you do that? You get to know the book. You know what one of your biggest problems is? You don't know the book the way you need to know it. And some of it you're not going to understand, as Brother Brent was trying to explain to us this morning. But what you do understand, and there's a whole lot you can understand that you don't have a problem with at all. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Can you understand that? Boy, that's clear. That's clear. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Can you understand that? You know what the word gift means? You didn't work for it. You didn't earn it. It is not a reward. It is not a reward for checking off little things in Sunday school. It's a gift. That's why it's eternal. It was given by the eternal God, and it's eternal life. It's His life. And bless your heart, I have it now. I'm not waiting on it. He's given it to me now.
Amen.
I have the Spirit of the living God living in me, and if you're saved, you've got the same thing.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, here's a guy. He prayed. God said, I've seen your tears, and I'm going to add unto your days 15 years. Now, how about that for a miracle?
Yeah.
And by the way, if you look at 2 Kings 20:11, I'll just read it for you. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward by which it had grown down in the dial of Ahaz. That's not in Isaiah. That's in 2 Kings. And in fact, if you want another one where he changes the sundial. Now, a lot of people have a problem with this miracle, and a lot of people try to explain it. I don't think you're going to explain it. I don't know whether God just moved the sundial that far back and where they could see it, or whether he actually stopped the earth and held it up for 10 degrees. Doesn't matter to me. I believe the miracle that happened, by the way, Joshua in Joshua chapter 10 and verse 12, then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel, this is aloud in sight of everybody, sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajalon, and the sun stood still.
Amen.
You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, you're welcome to not believe it, but I believe it.
Amen.
I believe the miracles, every one of them in there, and I believe the things that God has done in my life, and I've heard some of your tales. God's done some things in your lives.
Amen.
Wonderful things. The writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, verse 9, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sicknesses. Here's what he said about himself. Man, see if you've ever had a day like this. Maybe this week. I said, in the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I'm deprived of the residue of my years. Yeah, I'm getting cut short. I've got kids to raise. I've got more work to do. I've got a thing I'm trying to do. I said, I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord in the land of the living. I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world. Hey, I'm going to miss all my friends. Mine age is departed. Now, to an old man, that doesn't bother you very much. But to a young man, that does bother. If you have a child that passes away, that bothers you. They didn't get to live to give a strong life. Mamas and daddies, they're supposed to die. And they're going to die. Some of them live longer than others, and some of them, their days are cut off. He says in verse 12, mine age is departed, is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. I have cut off like a weaver in my life. He will cut me off with pining sickness. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. I reckon till morning. He prayed all night long. And he thought all sorts of horrible things that were going to happen to him. He said in verse 13, I reckon till morning. Verse 14, so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. I said, O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. What shall I say? I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. He was thinking he was going to be bitter at losing his life in such a short time. 35 to 40 years. I don't blame him. I've lived a whole lot of life since I was 40. Some of you have too. Been some of your good years too. Now, I shall go softly, verse 15, think about this. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. You ever get very discouraged? Well, Hezekiah is discouraged. Hezekiah is a good king. Hezekiah was a good man. Hezekiah believed in the Lord. Hezekiah is discouraged. He's lost his life as far as he is concerned. And then notice in verse 17 is a very interesting thing. Behold, for peace, I had great bitterness. Instead of peace, I had bitterness. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. He knows what it is to be saved. He knows what it is to know the Lord. He knows what it is to be forgiven. That's what he's saying here. Here's this king. He said, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Buried him in the depths of the sea. So far away from the east as from the west. Wow. Wonderful. Then you come to verse 19. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The father to the children shall make known thy truth. The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. Amen. Wow. Think about this for a minute. You're living. What should you be doing? Praising the Lord.
Amen.
You should be praying and praising and thanking God.
Amen.
You ought to be thanking God you're born American. Those that are and those that you got here, that thank God you got here on time.
Amen.
Where in communist Russia do you want to be born and grow up? Where in China would you like to be born? Where in Guatemala would you like to be born? In one of those cabins out on the side of a hill where you got 5 acres to live for your whole life. You got a dirt floor, no electricity, no ice box. Where would you like to be born? I was born in Texas. I'm sorry the rest of you weren't, all of you, bless your hearts. Yes, I am thankful.
Amen.
Did you have a good family? Did you have somebody that loved you? Did you have somebody that fed you and changed your diaper and raised you up and spanked your little bottom a few times?
Yeah.
You ought to thank the Lord.
Amen.
Did you finally meet somebody that you could marry and they would marry you? You better thank the Lord.
Amen.
Have you lived past 50 or 55? You ought to be thanking the Lord.
Amen.
Do you have enough health to have a job and keep working?
Amen.
You don't think you ought to thank the Lord? I think we ought to spend a whole lot of our time thanking God, and what we do is spend a lot of time complaining.
Amen.
They say that about soldiers, that soldiers are always going to be complaining. Well, I'll tell you what, Americans are complaining. We're the pickiest people in the world. I remember one time I was watching the Johnny Carson show, and you know the little bitty envelopes of sugar and stuff that you put in your coffee and whatever. Somebody had invented something to shake that for you. He made a lot of fun of that. I want you to know. Are you really so helpless, American, that you will actually buy a little shaker to shake the thing down? Well, how about all the other inventions that are advertised on television? You know you need every one of them. And some of you cannot afford to walk through a store with a credit card in your pocket. Am I right?
Yeah.
You live in the greatest, wealthiest, freest country ever. You are better off than 99.9% of people ever born.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And you're walking around miserable. You ought to be walking around, thank God I live in the richest country in the world. Thank God I live in the freest country in the world. Thank God I live in a place where they preach the gospel.
Amen.
Thank God I can get a Bible in every grocery store I go into.
Amen.
I thank the living, he shall praise thee. And I thank we including myself. And I think I may thank the Lord more than you. I'm not sure. But I know I thank the Lord every day. We ought to be thanking the Lord.
Amen.
We ought to be giving Him everything we can give Him.
Amen.
We ought to be supporting Him with our money and with our time. We ought to be testifying to our friends and to our family.
Amen.
The living, He shall praise thee. Amen. You need to praise, you need to pray, you need to thank God. You might be here this morning, you're a visitor, or maybe somebody's been coming a long time and you realize you're not saved. I've got some verses that give a great invitation. I remember I read some of them. For God so loved the world. That includes you. That He gave His only begotten Son. That's Jesus. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know what? When I saw that word whosoever in John 3:16, I wrote my name in. Whosoever? That certainly includes me. I'm one of the whosoever. You don't have Lindell down there. You don't have Lindell Kincaid down there. But it says whosoever. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Thank you, Lord.
If you're not saved here today, you can get saved right now. Right there in your seat. You can bow your head and say, Lord, I'm a sinner headed for hell. Have mercy upon me. I'll trust Christ with my soul. He'll save your soul and He'll change your life.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, bless Your word to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to praise You. Help us, Lord, to pray to You. Help us, Lord, to honor You. Oh, God, You've been so good. One mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Thank You, Lord, for a mediator. Thank You, Lord, for forgiveness of sins. Thank You, Lord, for the indwelling Spirit. Thank You, Lord, for eternal life. Thank You, Lord, for letting us hear the message over and over and over again until we finally got it.
Thank You,
Lord. Touch people's lives today. I ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
I am patient. Persian, Iran, Middle East, the place where Jesus walked and talked.